This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I think, you know, with Dalton, the things we like as you look at it, you know, obviously his experience, he's a 9-year starter. He's been to 3 Pro Bowls. A lot of leadership with Andy Dalton, decision-making. We like his decision-making. He's won a lot of games in this league. Andy's been a durable player, too. I think that's something that's understated. And I think, really, Andy fits our style of offense. You know, when you go through it with our scouts and coaches, you know, he can handle the drop-back game. He can handle the RPOs, the play actions, the movements. And we just felt, you know, as we went through those free agent quarterbacks, he's one of the more complete quarterbacks that we evaluated this year in free agency, and we're excited to have him.
That's the inexplicably employed Ryan Pace, your Bears GM, talking about Andy Dalton fitting a scheme that seems to be impossible to identify. But that's also the same guy who last year told us he really liked Mitch Trubisky's ability to process a defense and his accuracy when neither were true. So take that for what it's worth. Make of that what you will. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody, Saturday Suckage. And that's usually gives us a chance to play Ryan Pace and discuss Ryan Pace and his Bears. And now we're going to go to the Score Hotline, brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. And welcome in Score NFL insider and Shaw football analyst and the Ubermacher of Pro Football Weekly. That's Hub Arkush. Hub, how you doing today? And thanks for joining us.
Hey, any day, Rosie, that I can be the Ubermacher, I'm good. So it's,
You are. You're the Ubermacher. So you've written this week, and I wanted you to share with the class what you feel comfortable sharing without, but still making sure people click on it and subscribe. it's true. It's a really hard. I'm fascinated by when you write, when you think out loud like this. You look at stuff and you made a deep dive into the draft classes of Ryan Pace at a, you know, top heavy failure, but all of a sudden there's a bit of gold here, a bit of gold there, and you've looked at his free agency and you've looked at the possibility of trades because he's got Spilkes on draft days. So wherever you want to start, what of those three areas with the draft coming up, what's the most important for wherever this Bears franchise, this Bears roster goes?
You know, Steve, it's funny. Ryan Pace made two decisions that forever doomed him. One is in the 2017 draft, he traded up from number 3 to number 2 when he absolutely didn't have to get the guy he wanted. And then at number 2, he took the wrong guy in the only draft in the last 10 years where top 10 quarterbacks have actually threatened to become franchise quarterbacks. You know, and so we've got this so out of kilter, you know, as you said in your intro, inexplicably the GM. I strongly disagree. You know, I can explain it. I think there's reasons for it. I think that he has done a decent job in many areas. And so basically I thought, let's kind of get to the roots of it. So last week I detailed each free agent class, every signing, and put grades on them. And both the bad ones, the Antrell Rolls of the world, as well as, and the Pernell McPhees, as well as the Akeem Hicks and Danny Trevathans. And then this week, I think it was a couple days ago, went every draft, every trade, and put grades on those as well. And where you end up is when you eliminate those two decisions, the trade up from 3 to 2 and the selection of Mitch over Deshaun Watson. And I refuse to fault him for taking him over Patrick Mahomes, because I know for a fact that at least 25 to 27 teams in the league would have done the same thing. Mahomes was the surprise in the group. I will just never understand why they took him over Watson. But once you get past those couple things and you plug in the deserving Executive of the Year award, which he did, and you separate the first 3 years with John Fox from the last 3 years with Matt Nagy, he's just not the disaster that a lot of Bears fans want to paint him as.
All right, Hub, let's get to what may or may not happen this year then for the Bears. Right now they have, in the first round, they have the 20th overall pick. Do you think they'll keep that pick?
Mark, that was actually... Thank you, guys. That's today's column.
ShawLocal.com. That's all I can say. ShawLocal.com.
Well, what I did was I don't pretend to know things I don't know. And so I haven't seen their draft board. I don't know which players, Mark, move the board, cause them to jump up and make a trade, maybe allow them to trade back. But what I did was look at the most likely scenarios based on their needs at offensive tackle, quarterback, safety, and wide receiver, and then try and identify the teams that they could possibly be dealing with, and then worked off the trade value chart to show folks what those trades might look like. And so the only possibility, first of all, guys, with the quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence is the only quarterback in this draft with a better grade, a better draft prospect ranking than Mitch Trubisky had. Now, that doesn't mean that 1, 2, 3, or all four of these other guys are going to be better than Mitch. It means the odds are that they won't be, based on what happens with quarterbacks in these drafts. We know the first three in some order. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence, and then I suspect with the way everything's moving right now, it's going to be Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, but I don't know. You know, Trey Lance is fascinating. Justin Fields is the one nobody can figure out, but we know three of them are going to be gone. So if one of the two that are left, they love the way they loved Mitch, then to get up to number four, it would be painfully expensive. It would cost 2 ones, 2 twos, and a three. And you can manipulate a little bit, but that's the way this chart tends to work out. And when you look at the significant needs at other positions, to take another gamble, like the one that's caused him all this agitation in the first place, I just don't see it, okay? And so then you flip it around, and you say, let's say all five quarterbacks are gone in the top eight, and they're probably going to be. You know that three wide receivers are going to go in the top 12 or 13 when you look at Jamar Chase and the two Alabama kids, Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle. You know Penny Sewell's going to be gone. You know Micah Parsons are going to be gone. Now, other than Sewell, none of those guys really matter to you. And suddenly you're down to 12, and all but Sewell are on the board at tackle. You know, all but the big three are on the board at wide receiver. There's no safeties you want to go top 15, top 20 in this draft. There's no quarterbacks left, but now if you don't go tackle wide receiver, you know, maybe you've got a player on your board that you had as the 6th, 7th best player in the draft, and he's sitting there at 13 or 14. So, you know, teams I'd keep an eye on, you know, the Eagles are trying to stockpile picks. And so that trade isn't nearly as expensive for the Bears. That's this year's 1 and 3, you know, and I'm doing this from memory now, so I may be off a little bit, but you keep an eye on them trading up to 12. To maybe get the second best offensive tackle in the draft, if you think that's Darisaw or Leatherwood or whoever it may be, or maybe to get the fourth best wide receiver in the draft that you have a higher grade on. If they don't go there, then at 13 and 14, you've got the Jaguars and the Vikings with very similar needs to the Bears, and the Vikings aren't going to help the Bears, but at 15 are the Patriots, and Ryan Pace and Bill Belichick love making draft day trades. And if the five quarterbacks are gone, that trade's not that expensive. And so you look at 15, and then, you know, 17 and 18 are possibilities because you've got the Raiders in there. You've got the Jaguars. They don't have the same needs as the Bears. So that's where I would keep an eye on them possibly making trades. If they sit at 20, there's a good chance they're still going to get the third or fourth best tackle in this draft. There's a good chance they're still going to get the fourth or fifth best wide receiver in this draft, or you may find a safety or a cornerback who you can't pass. I'm leaving out cornerback because, you know, they've got so many kids, and they've plugged in Trufant. Don't forget, Mark, you know, Artie Burns was running with the ones before he tore that ACL last year.
Sure.
So I know a lot of people have them taking a cornerback in the first round. I'd be really surprised by that unless it's one of the top two. You know, if Surtain's not going to fall, I don't know if it's Surtain or Surtain, he's not going to fall that far. But then you get to J.C. Horn, who's interesting. He's a good-sized kid. You know, South Carolina did a nice job with Stephon Gilmore. But I don't know how they do that and then, you know, still have these gaping holes at tackle and depth at wide receiver.
We're talking with Hub Arkish here. He's the Scores NFL insider, a Bears insider on Saturday Suckage. So I'm in favor of the offensive line. That's where I would want to build it, protect whether it's Andy Dalton or Andy Doppelganger, whoever it's going to be. The report, what did you make of that? The Ian Rappaport tweeted out and from the NFL Network, a storyline to watch, the Bears potentially trading or looking into trading Anthony Miller, which was a high draft pick, somebody for whom Ryan Pace traded up and had it. It's had really two interesting kind of years here. I don't know how coachable he is. I don't know how disciplined he is. And I don't know whether that was the agent or the Bears who put that out there just to see whatever kind of fishing expedition it might yield. What do you make of that?
Well, Steve, 90% of this is the agents, and that's what can be so frustrating about this time of year is you get these stories out there and there's big headlines on them and there was never really anything to them. In this particular case, I think it's the agent pushing the story, but I'm sure the Bears have fielded a couple calls, maybe made a couple calls. But I think what Bears fans have to understand is that if he's a failed second round pick after 3 years, maybe you get a five, but most likely you're talking about a six or a seven. You've already got four sixes. And so that doesn't really move your draft needle all that much for you, you know, is the thing. They're almost, because I know the answer to your other question. I'm curious if Mark would agree with this. He is super talented. His work ethic is fine. And he's a really good young man. His concentration and his focus are his problem. And, you know, they work with him. And I talked to his coaches and to Ryan Pace and people, and they say, you know, we keep thinking this is it because he does everything you want him to do. But then come game day and sometimes in practice, he just doesn't seem able to stay on task.
I agree, and it goes in spurts for him. Like, I think that they get in his head, they call him out publicly, as public as any player, and then you'll see the focus, like, you know, every third or fourth game, and then he just goes away. And then last year, Hub, basically, we saw Darnell Mooney take over his playing time. I don't think it's any more complex than that. Like, man, and Mooney's going to continue to get that if Miller's even around next year.
Guys, go back, or all of our listeners, if you have a little time to kill, watch some of the 2019 Thanksgiving Day game and watch Anthony Miller and Mitch Trubisky work together. I mean, it'll make you a little sick because you'll wonder why Mitch isn't the franchise quarterback. But more to the point, Anthony Miller that day was a bigger, stronger Antonio Brown. And don't forget that while AB has, you know, become a nut job for 5 years, he was one of the most dominant receivers in the history of the league. And that's the guy I'm talking about. So,
well,
he was terrific.
What he could be, what he has been on the field, just the precision with which he runs routes also brings up something in improving the receiver core, but giving the quarterback enough time to do it. Where on the scale, the credibility scale, do you find Matt Nagy when he takes back the play calling, and we saw what happened. He had to give it up because they sucked. And what they ended up doing in my world is, out of desperation, they needed to run the ball. They didn't believe in it before. They believed in it a lot more when they had trouble on the offensive line. They settled on an offensive line because injuries made them do that. And then they worked a balanced offense off of that, but that was never the plan when everybody was healthy and it was all blue sky. Do you agree with that? Do you think that changed Matt Nagy?
You know, Steve, it's funny. You're one of the few guys who can appreciate how long I've been doing this and how many Bears coaches I've been around. Even you were a kid when I started. And,
yeah.
and of all of them, Matt is the one that I have the hardest time feeling like I really know. I can tell you his players love playing for him. And that is consistent. It's unanimous. And it includes guys who've left here. He is a pleasure for us to work with. We are very much on his schedule, which is a little frustrating sometimes. But other than that, and he's obviously a very smart football guy. But there's something about this obsession, with play calling and running the offense that I don't fully understand. Now, I do know that Bill Lazor was principally calling plays the last 6 weeks of the season. But anybody who thinks that Matt wasn't, intimately involved just because he didn't have his face buried in the play card, 24/7, is kidding themselves. So I don't know how big a deal that is. Matt, I know I like him a lot personally. I see some things I really like about him as a coach. His players love him as a coach. And it's what keeps me wondering, is there possibly something special there? Do they just need to get over these couple humps? Because, again, as a rookie, NFL Coach of the Year, you come back year two, you have some disappointments, but part of it's your quarterback takes a step back and really four plays in two games, or you're 10-6. And I know that's a story for a lot of teams, but I'm just saying that's his story. And then, guys, I do not put career-altering grades on anybody in the NFL for what they've been through in the last 12 months. Because while they pulled it off better than all other, three major team sports, they got the whole season in. What they worked through, and again, Rosie, Mark and I were there both days. I mean, the circumstances under which they worked, nobody should be judged for their career based on working under those circumstances. So in that three-year window, the jury for me is very much out on Matt Nagy, but I do think we're going to figure it out quick. If they don't get off to a good start this year, and particularly if the offense is struggling by week five, week six, week seven, then I think it's fair to become really concerned that his insistence on micromanaging the offense could be an issue.
Well, I think part of it, Hub, too, is, and this is for both of you guys, is that the reason it's hard to just say Matt Nagy is bad and he's not a good coach and all that, other than the successful 2018 season, is that Matt Nagy has such command of the conversation. Everything he says makes a lot of sense, and it doesn't hurt that he speaks it well as well. Like, everything he says, like, yeah, that actually computes. And then for whatever reason, on game day, since 2018, a lot of times it hasn't. And then the other part, Hub, is the one that you've probably been on top of more than anybody else. He has failed to put together an offense that, and it started to come together with the running game last year, but the running game and complementing it with the other things that he wants to do, that's been a failure. He has not been able to do that yet.
Yeah, and guys, I look at this thing, the offensive line, why they haven't invested in it, but have had interesting conversations with folks over the last month or two as we all do the best we can to keep up with this. And one of the things I will tell you, not based on anything they've said specifically, but because you do get to know these guys and they're not stupid and you can read between the lines and occasionally, you get something extra out of somebody. They know who Andy Dalton is. My biggest frustration with the Bears is that season-ending press conference, people are going to be talking about 5, 10 years from now, and it didn't have to happen. I mean, you know, everybody knew what the questions were going to be, what the mood was going to be like, and they just weren't properly prepared, neither coach and GM or owner and president and CEO. That was number one. And then number two, you know, they know who Andy Dalton is, and they were in a bad situation. They got forced by false media reports into, you know, everyone believing that Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson was going to be their next quarterback. It was never going to happen. Then, you know, I know for a fact they inquired about trades of some other guys that Bears fans would probably like to have here, and they weren't being offered. So when you look at what was there in free agency, it was, you know, what's the best of a bad lot? It's a one-year deal they gave Andy Dalton. And so I just wish that they'd, you know, think more about the things that they say so they wouldn't be their own worst enemy sometimes, because every time they say Andy Dalton makes good decisions, I want to upchuck. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Look at you got 9 years worth of tape. I mean, you know, and they talk about his three Pro Bowls. Let's get the record straight here, okay, guys? In his three Pro Bowls, he was never voted to the Pro Bowl. He was an alternate all three times. Now, that still means, you know, he probably was better than others. In one of those seasons, he threw 13 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. In another season, he completed 59% of his. He's never been a Pro Bowl quarterback. Stop selling that stuff. You know, just tell the truth. You know, we needed to fill the spot. It was time to move on from Mitch. We believe Andy Dalton was the best one out there. We think we can win with him. Next question. And they choose not to do that. You know, so sometimes they're just their own worst enemy.
Don't make Hub get out of his chair. That's the conclusion at this point. Don't make me get out of my chair. Before we let you go, Hub, we were asking this because of what the Dodgers did in their ring ceremony, where they had a player's childhood idol introduce them before they came out to get their ring along the third baseline. So if you were a championship baseball player and you, as a Cub fan, you won a World Series with the Cubs and you were going out to accept your ring, who would you have chosen to be your childhood idol? Who would have presented you? Who would have introduced you?
Well, I can't remember what year Ernie passed away, but I mean, you know, Steve, we're childs of the 60s, children of the 60s, I should say. I'm one of three boys. And in our house, my brother, I have an older brother, Dan's 14 months older than me. He was Ron Santo. I was Ernie Banks. And our little brother was Billy Williams. And so
that's awesome.
It's the heart of the Orcish Order.
Oh, I mean, and it was every day out the door at 7 playing baseball till it got dark, you know, and there was, you know, 10, 15 kids in the neighborhood. And I practiced being Ernie Banks for, I don't know, 8-9 years before I realized that I wasn't.
It didn't take.
No. You have to have some talent to go with the wishes.
Yeah.
You know?
I was really amazed until I realized it's going to be easier to write about him than to replicate him. So I certainly.
Hey, Hope, you know who I was? I was Dave Kingman. That was my, as a child, and I know that, you know, he was kind of a tool as it turned out, but like when I was a kid, man.
Your uncle would be pissed at you, man. That's it.
Jerry Grody. Yep.
There you go. All right. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you taking time.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always look forward to visiting with you.
All right. See you, Hub Arkish, the Ubermacher of Pro Football Weekly, and ShawLocal.com. Go read his stuff there. It's very enlightening. And you know what? Makes a case for that most people don't agree with about Ryan Pace, but there's the case. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we need to do What Are You Doing, Wegner? Because there's a recurring theme to this, and it's certainly worth hearing again. We're going to. On Odyssey, we have audio. That's the way it works. Do you see what I did there, Mark?
Yeah, you are such radio. A company guy. Listen,
we have audio, and we'll take an Odyssey back to one of our favorite actors and a story that I guarantee you didn't know. I certainly didn't know this, but anytime we can add to the legend of more cowbell, we will.
Awesome.
We will do that next. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Back, what are you doing, Wagner? Our near award-winning segment. What are you doing around, in and around the sports world, or just this television, this radio show, television? So I was making the point earlier that our motto, "We suck so you don't have to," is also suck like nobody's watching. And because this is radio, nobody is watching because we're not on Twitch. So I think that Mark Grody is a good advantage to us. We should add that to our motto. Suck like nobody's watching.
That's right. We have not been promoted to Twitch as well.
Twitch, yeah. So anyways, that we seem to, and we should, celebrate Christopher Walken on a regular basis in this segment. Last week was his birthday, and we had discussed a career that, you know, the Deer Hunter and Pulp Fiction and more cowbell.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Well, this week was the anniversary of that sketch. And I don't recall all this, so I did this deep dive. I went down this Christopher Walken, more cowbell rabbit hole. That was the last sketch of the show. I did not remember. Did you remember that?
No, which is amazing, because they usually put the classics are usually up front.
Right. And then, so he's Full Metal walking. He's playing this series. He's Bruce Dickinson. He's got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell. And there's Will Ferrell playing the cowbell, staring straight at Chris Parnell. And by the time the sketch gets going, Will Ferrell's shirt is up to his, just is above his stomach.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. And I remember, of course.
The story goes they went to costume him, and all they had was a shorter version. They offered to get him a larger version. He goes, no, this will be perfect for what I'm doing. And so that's why he intentionally wanted a shirt that was too small, and that shirt. So in the background on the drums is Jimmy Fallon laughing and Chris Parnell.
Right, almost ruining the skit, yeah.
Right, and they're all doing this as this thing goes on. A sketch, by the way, well, it was born out of Will Ferrell hearing the Blue Oyster Cult song and going, what is that guy playing the cowbell? What's his life like now?
Yeah.
Right, and that's where the sketch came from. Here's something I didn't know as part of my dive. I didn't realize this, that so here is a clip from Will Ferrell appearing on Fallon's show as they started talking about legendary sketches, and they got to this one. Here is a footnote. Here is another something that adds to the legacy of that sketch.
Here's the crazy thing. So I go to see Christopher Walken years later,
yeah,
in a play. I say hello to him backstage, and he's like, you know, you've ruined my life.
What?
People during the curtain call bring cowbells and ring them. The other day I went for an Italian food lunch, and the waiter asked if I wanted more cowbell with my pasta bolognese. And I think he was really mad at me.
Well, yeah. No way.
And he had a little smile, but...
Well, because he had such a great career. I mean,
but, you know...
He's a great actor.
From The Deer Hunter,
yeah,
to Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, he's amazing.
To more cowbell.
That's phenomenal.
Isn't that great? And the waiter asked if I wanted more cowbell with my pasta bolognese. I had never heard that part.
Lunch.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, I think that Christopher Walken's best line in that skit, like obviously the I Got a Fever thing is incredible and legendary, but when he's talking about how he puts his legs on one leg at a time, except once I get them on, I make gold records, like that kills me every time.
As the producer, yeah, that's just it's and any chance we get to revisit that, we will. And I think if we're having our Christopher Walken audio of the week, we're just going to do that at least once all of it, because it's pretty remarkable the way it has lasted. It was April 8th of 2000.
Wow. 21 years ago.
21 years ago this week. So here's something even more long-lasting in the next item of What Are You Doing, Wegner. On April 7th, 45 years ago, and April 7th, 32 years ago, April 7th, 45 years ago, Bad News Bears was released. And 32 years ago, on the same date, Major League was released.
Just a bit outside.
Yeah.
Nice.
There you go. And you had...
Post-game show is brought to you by... Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.
Shut up, Dorn.
Right. And that's the one that you really have to see. That's a classic. Lou Brown is classic in that.
Love Lou Brown.
They both on the same day, and it makes sense. It's usually the start of the baseball season. Let's bring the baseball movies out 45 years ago. One of the things about Bad News Bears, Tatum O'Neal being... Tatum O'Neal is holding a scene with Walter Matthau, who's, in my world, a legendary actor. His Felix Unger, his Oscar Madison was why I wanted to be a sports columnist. Because you could be a slob and smoke cigars and write about sports. And that was my career goal.
Yeah, but you got there, bud.
They're doing this, they're talking about this but Morris Buttermaker, and there's this scene where she's negotiating because he wants her to play baseball for his team.
12 ballet lessons.
9 ballet lessons. That's $3 a shot for crying out loud. I can't.
12 what are you ballet doing? Lessons are no good.
I just lit that cigar. That's terrible. Make it 9 ballet
I
lessons.
I want the imported kind of jeans.
jeans.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Jeans.
I'm not getting you any jeans. You know what I? You know how many pools I got to clean to get
expensive
you a pair of corded jeans? What's the matter with American jeans?
I don't like them.
What do you think? Yeah, catfish hunter.
Who's he?
There you go. Hawk Harrelson will tell you who Catfish Hunter is. But there are lines in that movie said by Tanner Boyle that you couldn't have an adult say now. I'm not going to say them here, but there's part of the way Tanner Boyle is describing the team that he's on, the Misfit Bears, and that's you would never hear that in, I don't think. Maybe you would for a shock effect, but I can't imagine a little kid saying that now. But that was,
I remember
both
the first
released.
The first time I saw that movie was probably, I don't know, 10 years ago. And I was shocked then. It was like, I can't believe they let this like 10-year-old kid say all this. It was unbelievable.
Right. Well, it was in somewhat of a window and at that point in the 70s when it was made that it was there wasn't the pearl clutching, and there wasn't also the need for respecting everyone's upbringing, for respecting everyone's right to thought. It was everybody was running over everything, and it didn't really matter. It was quite
confirm,
a thing that
confirm my memory for me. So it's a movie originally, then it was a TV series for a while too, right?
Bad News Bears.
I want to say it was, unless I just remember as a kid watching the movie on television. But for some reason, my childhood memory is saying to me that they tried it to make it a TV series. Maybe you could check that for us, there, Studs. Mm. That's the way I remember it, but I don't know. I was just a Dave Kingman loving child at the time.
Right. So if it were a bracket challenge, like Bad News Bears Major League, who would advance in your world?
Well, it would be Major League for me. I don't remember the Bad News, like the nuts and bolts as much. You know what I mean? So for me, it's Major League. What about you?
I would go with Bad News Bears because it had more of an effect earlier, and I also was in the Valley. I grew up in the Valley, and the idea of Engelbert, and I know that he was. The stereotypical, the badly drawn fat catcher, fat funny catcher.
Yeah, yeah. Engelbert, what was his name? Just Engelbert. Yeah.
Engelbert. Yeah. And so Walter Matthau is a pool cleaner, and don't jump in the pool, Engelbert. You'll flood the valley. I was the fat funny catcher too, and so I identified with that.
Hey guys, I did find on IMDb the Bad News Bears TV series, which ran for 26 episodes from 1979 to 1980. So didn't quite make it, but
wow,
it was a thing apparently.
Yeah, see, now that confirms it, because I was in 79, I was 7 years old, so that's like, you know, my sketchy memory. I remember being very excited because I was so, like, as a kid, I was so attracted to baseball. Like, that was it. Like, I was insatiable as far as, like, baseball consumption in any way. So that's why that sort of has that episodic memory effect with me.
It makes sense. That's in your wheelhouse. That's the way it would play out. Yeah. That was,
yeah, man.
The Sunday night game last week, the Shohei Ohtani show.
Right? Yes, I watched.
And all of the discussion about Shohei Ohtani and what he did, what he can do, what he has done. And the LA Angels tweeted out, "But can your pitcher do this?" All caps, question mark. And he hits that home run against the White Sox. So Noah Syndergaard retweeted it with the comment, "Way past my bedtime, but hello, Angels." And it's Syndergaard hitting a home run in a game against the Phillies.
Oh, man.
Just in case you're wondering. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we have much more What Are You Doing, Wegner? And including, so we'll get the Trash Panda's thoughts on this. There is a legitimate challenger, I think, something we have to consider, a minor league name a minor league emblem, something we have to consider to the Trash Pandas throne in our world of king of the minor league names. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Saturday Suckage, taking up to 2 o'clock, finishing up What Are You Doing, Wegner. So, Trash Panda and Mark, this is what's happened. The Winston-Salem Dash, the Class A Advanced Carolina League affiliate of your Chicago White Sox, will share Truist Stadium with another baseball team. The Carolina Disco Turkeys. That is the newest name of the Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The Carolina Disco Turkeys, the logo, is a turkey with plumage more fitting of a ostrich. But in a white suit, they bat in a right hand, or the elbow is crooked, holding it on its right shoulder. And the serious-looking disco turkey is pointing with its left hand to the sky as if a home run were gone. So, Trash Panda, are you worried about your place? Are you worried about your place high atop our list as favorite team logo?
Nickname.
Nickname?
The Carolina Disco Turkeys.
Disco Turkeys?
The Carolina Disco Turkeys, sir.
I don't know. I mean, that's an okay name. To be honest with you, like, Trash Paint is a good name. I don't even put that. Like, the Jumbo Shrimp is the best one of all time, if you were asking me. So I don't even think my own title is number one in my own power rankings. Maybe for the shows it is.
Let me ask you this. Because we can't just waste Disco Turkey. Who at the Score
should be nicknamed Disco Turkey?
Because if you're Trash Panda, who gets to be Disco Turkey?
Man, that's a good question. Disco Turkey.
Producer, on-air talent, whoever.
Who would that fit?
Who's the Disco Turkey?
Well, who doesn't have a real nickname? I guess we got to start there. So what, Sean is Stifler on this show, right? So
Yeah.
Okay.
Brandon Fryer.
What about Rick Camp?
Rick Camp,
because like turkey, he likes to eat turkey.
He's fat. You know, there's a legendary spot. He's already
the disco is not befitting. Yeah, I don't know about that.
So
who else?
Well, all right, let me think here. So
he
I mean, there's
have to be conferred today.
No, I think it does.
We can take
do.
That. Oh, you think it does?
No. We don't do it now. When are we going to do it?
We're going to return
to wait a month.
We're going to wait another month. Make this a to-be-continued segment.
To be continued.
Let the suspense roll. Let me think here. So there's Brandon Fryer. He's the new guy. He doesn't have any kind of nickname yet.
Right.
Mike Rankin doesn't have a nickname that I'm aware of.
Ooh, okay.
Mally
doesn't have one.
He's kind of a disco turkey, no?
That might fit him, actually. Disco turkey.
Yeah.
Jordan the disco turkey Mally.
I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it for anybody so far. I don't know. There's got to be something. I don't know.
Right, well, something organic will come out of it.
Maybe we will return to this.
Yes, we will.
Comes up with it at some point that is fitting, then we'll bring it back up. So we'll bookmark this.
Grobber, the disco turkey?
No.
I don't like disco. Yeah, he probably doesn't like disco. Because he worked with Steve Dahl.
The Masters is going on. Corey Connors, a golfer I've never heard of, aced the sixth hole. That'll lower his scoring. He had a hole-in-one before the Masters started today. Doug Ferguson, who is the AP golf writer, took a picture of a box of 12 glazed donuts and titled the picture "Today's Hole Locations at the Masters," which
nice.
I think was inspired. I think
no Homer Simpson studs. Man, Studs is ready to go.
Yeah. Oh, all
right.
Sorry, I was.
Yeah.
I had some information for later today coming in from Shane.
Really? We got a show after us, or
no?
What's going on? No, okay.
It's stuff about the Cubs game later.
I don't know if this makes you feel old or not, but Kirk McCaskill turned 60 today. Kirk McCaskill, former White Sox pitcher, but I covered him as an Angel. It was on my first beat. He was a kid. He was also a former, he played, dressed a game for the Winnipeg Jets, never played, but he was drafted in the fourth round by the Jets. And Kirk McCaskill played for the White Sox in the early to mid-90s, turns 60. I'm just, wow. That's really aging. His dad, I watched his dad play. Ted McCaskill was a member of the LA Sharks of the World Hockey Association. And famously, because all he did was fight in that league and all he did was empty the benches, after a fight, some guy from the other team came by the bench, I don't remember who it was, and started mouthing off to the Sharks bench. And at that time, Kirk McCaskill's father happened to have his gloves off while sitting on the bench, and he came straight up with a fist, caught the guy on the chin, and knocked him out, and started a brawl.
Damn.
Yes. Kirk McCaskill turns 60 today. I don't know if that makes you... It makes me feel old. I don't know if you remember him at all, Mark.
No, I do. I can't relate exactly to the... Like, does that one make me? I mean, there's plenty of things that make me feel old. One does not jump off the top, but I got you. I feel you. I'm here to support you.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to miss you over the next couple of weeks, buddy.
Yeah, well, I miss you too. That's the way things go with our broadcast schedule and the draft coming up and just all kinds of stuff. So
yeah,
that'll happen. And maybe by then we'll return to Disco Turkey and we will have someone upon whom it is right to confer that title the way Trash Panda has worn his so proudly.
Yeah, we got to return to that topic. Yep.
Yeah. That's it. So, all right. So, there's the music. We need to thank Scott Merkin and Megan Montemurro and Hub Arkish joining us. And we want to thank Trash Panda for producing this epic today and people for chiming in on making guesses on Bulls 50-point scores even after we gave all the answers. Really appreciate that membership from the WB Club. So, anyways, Mark... What's where can people catch you now? Mark, you're all over, you're everywhere.
Yeah, well, today is Saturday. Honestly, like as I sit here right now, I don't know when next I'll be on the radio. I have not looked at next week's schedule yet, but I imagine I'll be on a few times, and who knows when and where, but I'm ready for anything. So thanks, Steve.
All right, well, it'll be next Saturday for sure. He's Mark Grody, I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thanks for suffering through Saturday suckage, and if nobody important listened, we'll be back next month, something like that. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly,
clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.